Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of being here. It is such a beautiful day. God, you, Creator God, who made all that we know, all that there is. Lord, just driving over this morning and seeing the beauty, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, God, for how you bless us. We've got a lot of things on our minds today. Lord, we want to begin by saying thank you. Thank you for last Sunday, for Brother Michael's election to be the new pastor of Meridian. We praise you. Praise you, God, for your direction, for the committee, and then for the church. Thank you, God, for unity, for discernment, for direction. Thank you, God. We look forward to that transition. Look forward to Brother Michael being here. We pray, God, you'd be with him and his family during these days as they have to do a lot of adjusting, planning, packing, a lot of details. We just pray you'd be with them. And Lord, be with us here at Meridian during these days while we wait. And Lord, help us to have our hearts prepared, ready for Brother Michael to come. Lord, we have our hearts today on those that are sick. We pray, God, that you administer to their needs, Lord. Give them healing, great physician. There is no healing that comes from anywhere else except through you. So, Lord, we pray that you would give healing for those today that are sick. Be with those that are traveling today. We know that sometimes we have to be away, and we pray, God, that you would give traveling mercies, give protection. Now, Lord, this day we've come to hear from you. We've come to praise you. We've come to sing your praises, to lift our voices, to give you the proper place in our lives of being Lord and Master. Lord, we've also come to hear today your word proclaimed. I pray, God, for Buddy as he comes to speak today on the behalf of the Gideons. Lord, I thank you for the work of Gideons. I know that, Lord, that ministry has reached millions through the years. And I just pray, God, your continued blessing upon the Gideons. Now, Lord, this is your day. We've come to worship you. May your name be praised at Meridian Baptist Church today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Y'all stand, please.
see. I need to start out with telling you when the church first started. It first started in 1874. And it was built up on old Sevierville Pike, and it was just a wooden church, as you know. Now, there's a lot of you in here probably didn't remember that back then. And so, because, you know, it's aged gold. Okay, so age has changed everything. I can't believe how things have changed in here. But it was built then, and it was just an old structure thing. And you know what you had to do to go to church up there? You had to pay. Women had to pay 25 cents, and men had to pay 50 cents. I declare, I don't know how that's going to be. And then they had a pastor that only was there for a year. He only stayed a year, and they did that for about 5 years. They just had him just for a year. And then they decided they'd go to a full-time pastor, and he could stay a year and a half. Of course, his full-time was just on Sunday. That's all it was. And he was paid, if he got full-time, he was paid $1,000 a year. That's pretty good, wasn't it? And do you know what? Back then, when we just started and all, you could be de-churched. You know that? I'm going to tell you some things you could be de-churched for. You could be de-churched for fighting, partying, card playing, not obeying your parents, gambling, profanity, drunkenness, and the list goes on. But Dennis, I didn't see bowling or golf on there. Okay. All right. In 1924, they changed from oil lamps to carbide lights. They decided they'd get lights. But now they still didn't have electricity yet, and they had paper fans like this right here. And while the preacher was preaching, you just fanned yourself the whole time. And the funeral homes gave everybody a fan like that. And that was good. And then they didn't have any, there was no air conditioner or anything like that. So you just had to keep yourself cool best you could. All right, and by this time, by now, there's been 33 pastors at Meridian and 20 ministers of music. And Dana Fashman he's been here the longest in the pastor, and Dennis has been here the longest as minister of music. You know, we used to call them choir directors. You didn't know minister of music. That's a new selling there. I want to tell you about how women used to have to dress. They had to used to wear long stuff like they got on right here. And they had to wear a hat. And that's why you came to church. If you didn't have that on, you didn't come in the door. And, of course, men, they just wore them old suits anyway, just like, you know. But I can tell you a few things about how them old wooden pews were in the church. You had to sit in that wooden pew, and sometimes the preacher would preach an hour or hour and a half. And I'm telling you what's the truth. The time you got through, your backside didn't feel too good. Okay, finally they got electricity in 1974. And they put fans up because they still didn't have air conditioning. So they put fans up everywhere. And they had fans in the ceiling and all that. And I never will forget, I was with my grandmother one day. And we were sitting there, and all at once this woman in the front jumped up and she started running back the aisle. And she said, "My hat, my hat, my hat." Her hat, that fan up there had blown that hat off. She didn't realize you had to pin them hats down because they hadn't had fans yet, see? Well, everybody in the church started rising up trying to find her hat for her. Finally, somebody in the back found that hat. Bless her heart, she got her hat back. Okay. Then they purchased a heating plant in 1932 because they used to just have a stove that used wood or coal. Okay. Then they had lights that in 1952 the church was built right here in 1952 in this place, and they decided they needed to renovate. So they said, why don't we get chandeliers? Somebody made a motion, said, let's get chandeliers. As a man jumped up back there in the back, he said, We don't need no chandeliers. And they said, why is that? He said, first of all, nobody knows how to spell it. Second of all, nobody knows how to play it. And third of all, we need lights. Okay, then there was Bible school. I remember Bible school all. You go for a week or a week and a half, and then you had refreshments every day, and that was one reason you wanted to go. And then they had, at the end of the week, dinner on the ground. And I mean, it was on the ground. That's where it was. Okay, and the music, let me tell you about this. In 1932, they purchased a piano. And in 1953, they did it. They got an old Hammond organ. And I remember my grandmother had an old organ, and it was a pump organ. Has anybody ever heard of a pump organ? You had to take your feet and do like this to pump that organ to make it sound. And they gave it to her, and she put it in her house. I used to go up there and play. That was fun. And let me tell you another thing. Bulletins started in late 1900s. One bulletin I read after it got started said, the pastor will be gone next Sunday, and we will be having a service of singing and praise. Hope everyone attends. Well, to wrap this up, I would like to say a church anniversary is a time to reflect on the past, embrace the present, and envision a future with God's grace. Thank you.
One thing she failed to mention is the original church didn't have any indoor plumbing. So you know what that path that went out to the back meant. Okay, Arthur's going to tell our children a little bit more about it. Children, come forward now.
All right, kids, come on down. Come on, have a seat with me up here. All right, what a good looking crew we have today. Good morning. It's good to see you guys. You know, it's starting to warm up outside a little bit. The sun's starting to come out a little bit more. It's not quite as cold as it was. What's going to be here soon? Summertime, right? Springtime. And sometimes you get really hot outside, right? Yeah, and you want to come in, and what do you want to have? A shower or maybe a cold drink of water, right? Ice cream. Boy, that sounds good too, but you want what? Ice cream too, yeah. Well, you know, you want a cold drink of water. You really don't want hot water or a hot drink when you come in. You want something cold. So, you know, I'm a little bit older. Back in, where do you get your ice at the house? The freezer?
I have an ice maker.
Yeah, well, see, a lot of people have ice makers now. You just put your cup in there and the ice comes out. When I was young, a long time ago, we used to use these. Who knows what this is? Your grandmother had one? Wow, what is this? You put water in it, and you put it in the freezer, and it freezes, and that's where your ice would come from. You'd have to get the ice out of this ice tray. But you know what? It took a while. I mean, well, the ice was rectangle shaped, but it took a while. If you put water in this, you had to leave it in the freezer for a few hours before it froze and became ice, right? Because if you got it too soon, you had to wait a while. But you know what it took? It took a lot of patience, right? Is it hard to have patience sometimes?
No.
You don't think? I mean, sometimes I get impatient when I'm, what about when school's almost over? You're ready to get out of school? And you're thinking, gosh, I wish school would hurry up. What about when you're in a long line? You want to get through the line and you start to get impatient because it just takes a while, right? You want to go to a new school. Well, sometimes it's hard to be patient, you know. And so it's hard to be patient on things. What does God tell us to do about patience?
Be patient.
Yeah, to try to wait before getting really upset about things. It's hard to wait on Christmas sometimes, right? It's hard to wait on things. But you know, Hebrews 10:36 tells us this. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, sometimes we want God to do something. We ask for something from God, We don't get it right then, but we have to wait because God has the right timing, right? Sometimes it takes a while. We have to wait. Hey, pay attention, guys, okay? Pay attention. We have to wait for God because it's in God's timing. Are we going to do a good job with having patience? You guys, I bet I have a real patient group here, right? Yeah? Well, God wants us to be patient, right? Yes. Yes, he does. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's bow our heads together, and we're going to say a quick prayer, okay? Our Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for having us here today and the time we have to fellowship and hang out with each other, dear Lord, and thank you the most of all, dear Lord, for helping give us the chance to learn about you. Thank you for giving us your Son, dear Lord, that we have that opportunity for salvation, but help us to be patient, dear Lord, to be in your timing. Lord, I thank you so much for the blessings you've have here for us today. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Arthur had a little rough crowd there at that time, didn't he? Some of them needed some patience, I believe. All right. Well, I'm glad everybody's here this morning, and this is the time where we have just a little fellowship together. If you will, stand and cross the aisles a little bit, shake hands with the persons right next to you, and say good morning.
Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a beautiful day that you created for us to show us your beautiful earth, for us to join together, worship you, praise you. Thank you for all that you gave to us. We thank you for our new pastor that will be joining us in June. We thank you for those that have tied today, that they enhance your kingdom. And we just pray that you watch over, bless us, keep us focused upon you. If we don't see you, it's because we're not talking to you. So we just pray that we'll get closer to you and you'll get closer to us. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. But by His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me.
Introduce our speaker for this morning. And little housekeeping, on your way out this morning, we'll be taking an offering for the Gideons, and there will be persons at the doors to receive your offering, okay?
It's great to see a great crowd here this morning. We're really excited today. This is a great day to serve, to really have a Gideon speaker come into our church and share with us about some things going on with the Gideons. You know, there is a lot of stuff going on in this world right now. If you've turned on your TV this week, you see what's going on in Israel right now. You see that things are happening, and it could be things that we expect to happen in the Bible. So we only have so much time. There's so many people that need to be reached, so many of the lost that are looking for Jesus right now. We're very, very honored to have Buddy Fain come to us this morning. Buddy actually lives kind of up in the Boyd's Creek area. He's been with the Gideons for many years. He's worked as a camp president. He's worked as our district guy. He kind of is our district guy now. I've heard him speak. You've probably heard him speak in this church before. But he also works now at our national, international office in Nashville. So, Buddy, whenever we don't know what to do, or we needed some leadance or some guiding words of wisdom, Buddy's a guy that we can always turn to in our Gideon camps. I know he gets a lot of calls, but we're very, very thankful to have Buddy Fain with us this morning, and so I turn this over to Buddy Fain.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Well, God is at work, and I don't want to miss it. A young man by the name of Johnny had started a new business. And he was struggling in his business, and he didn't know what to do, and he didn't know how to really handle what was happening. And he shared with a pastor friend of his struggles in his business. And the pastor looked at him and said, "Johnny, you just need to go read 1 John chapter 5. That's all he told him. Well, Johnny just sort of put that in the back of his mind and didn't think much about it for quite some time. And he found himself traveling, and he was working on some business deals, and they just weren't going well at all, and he was struggling. And when he got to the hotel room, he saw the Bible that was placed in the room that you placed. And he remembered what that pastor said. He remembered the pastor says 1 John chapter 5. So Johnny picked that Bible up and fumbled through it, and he found 1 John chapter 5, and he read it a few times. But the Holy Spirit had his eyes on verse 5. Where it says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Johnny had a crisis of faith right there in that hotel room when he read that verse. And for the first time in his life, he found himself on his knees, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Johnny thanks you today Johnny thanks you because you were in that room, you were in that hotel room when he picked up that word, because you prayed and planted the seeds that we just sung about a few minutes ago, the ancient words that still impart. You were part of Johnny's time there, and he thanks you for that. He thanks you for supporting a ministry called the Giddings International. And I don't know that I have to explain too much in this church about the Giddings. But I wanted to put it in perspective a little bit this morning. The Giddings, for over 100 years, have been placing the Word of God and through personal witnessing and personal encounters with folks that God gives us an opportunity to reach in our business and in our business world and our connections that we do as we go out about our life. Today, God has opened up almost 200 countries that His Word and His Christian businessmen and women are actually physically handing out the Word of God and sharing the Word of Christ. When you support and pray for a ministry like the Giddings, you have 250,000 missionaries that live in their own community sharing the gospel of Christ. And you help them, you equip them with your prayers and your support through the scriptures that you purchase. I want to thank you for that. It kind of reminds me of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, some of us plant the seeds. Some of us water the seeds. But it's God who brings the increase. And we are laborers together with Him to reach the world for Christ. Thank you for laboring together. Thank you for allowing us to labor with you. And thank you for laboring with us as we reach out to this world. You know, and it reminds me of what we do when we do that. You know, sometimes you think about the work that goes on. But when you partner with the Giddings International, you are taking the church, and you're taking the church out into the world through the placement and the sharing of the Word of God. You know, it reminds me a lot of why do we do that? Why do we share the Word of God? Why is it so important? We sang about that this morning. But I think it tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, you know, we always like to land on verse 11, but I want to back up to verse 10 for just a moment. In Isaiah 55 and verse 10, it says this: for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now, if we stop right there, there's not a person living on the face of this earth that doesn't understand that verse. If we don't get moisture from heaven, we don't have plant life. We don't have physical life without moisture from heaven. But the next verse says, so. So shall my word be that goes out forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper unto the thing whereunto I send it. We understand that without moisture from heaven, we don't have physical life. Without the Word of God, we don't have spiritual life. Because the Word of God is what tells us about God's love. The Word of God is where He speaks to us about His Savior. And the Word of God is where He reveals to us every day the things that we may need to go about our life with Him. The Word of God is the critical piece to all of that. I want to introduce you to a man by the name of Francisco. Francisco was in a jail in Chile. And he went to a meeting where there were some Giddings there, and they were handing out scriptures. And he took one of the Bibles and he took it back with him. And he took it back to his cell. And when he was in the cell, he got to looking at this Bible. And he told his cellmate, he says, this is a really good book. And his cellmate says, well, what do you mean? He said, well, this is really good. But his cellmate, that's a really good book. He goes, no, what I'm telling you, this is really made really well. I really like the paper in this book. And his cellmate says, what are you talking about? And he goes, man, this paper's great. This is going to be a good, this is going to work well when I roll up my cigarettes here after a while. So he tore out a page out of that Bible, and he started to roll up a cigarette. And the Holy Spirit had him read the words as he was rolling. These are the words that actually came to his attention In Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, it says, if any man shall take away from the words of this book and from this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Francisco took that to heart. He started to unroll that cigarette, straightened out that piece of paper, and he stuck it back in the back of the Bible where he found it, and he started to read. And as he started to read, he started to find that God sent a Savior. Francisco accepted his personal Savior, he accepted Jesus. And now he is a Christian pastor, sharing the gospel and continuing to share because of the placement, because of your prayers, and the power of the Word of God. A few months ago, I got a chance to meet a young man by the name of Michael in our church. And Michael accepted Christ when he was a young boy. But his parents were Vietnamese, and he grew up in New Orleans. And the family was displaced during the Hurricane Katrina several years ago. So Michael had lived in many different places over the years. Well, Michael was in a hotel room one day, and he was getting ready to go to the airport to go wherever the next place he was going. But he didn't have a Bible. And he saw in the room that there was a Bible laying there, and he picked it up, and he said, he thought, I don't have a Bible, so he took it with him. Well, when he got to the taxi driver that morning, and as he's leaving the hotel, he had it in his hands, and he started explaining to the taxi driver how he had come about that Bible that morning. And the taxi driver looked at him and says, you're going to go straight to hell for stealing a Bible. You know, and it scared him. That hurt him. So much so that he just left the Bible in the car, and he carried that burden for years. Till God gave him an opportunity to share that burden, and God connected the dots. I was able to sit down with Michael and share with him that, you know, Michael, that Bible was there for you because it was a gift. I said, you cannot steal a gift. That gift was placed there because our churches loved you and knew that you needed an encouragement from the Word of God. So as we talked through what his story was, and he looked at me and he says, I gave him another Bible. I gave him a Bible to replace that one, and we got to talk through it. And he looked at me and he goes, well, I'm a little embarrassed about my story. I said, no, Michael. I said, you have a story. And I said, you need to share it. And I found out a few months later that he was carrying that Bible around and sharing his story as wherever he went. You see, we never know what God's got in store when we place his word. Because the Bible tells us that it won't return empty. Is it salvation? Is it encouragement? Is it a change in a life? I don't know. But God does. He just wants us to be faithful. He just wants us to be faithful to plant those seeds. You know, when we place a scripture in a hotel room, it's more than just the Bible that goes in the drawer or on the table. Yeah, God's going to use that for whatever he has in store. But the opportunity to talk to somebody on the way when they ask you, why do you do what you do? Why do you place that Bible? What's the point of this? Every time is an opportunity to share Christ. That's what you do when you support the Giddings International. That's what happens out in the workplace, out in the world. You know, in our area, I live in Boards Creek. I don't live all the way up in the craziness of Pigeon Forge. But I know you all have traveled through Pigeon Forge. And you know what it can be like up there with 3 lanes, stop traffic, both directions, millions of people passing through. But you know, when they get there, because of you, when they get to their hotel room, God's word's waiting on them. If they need it, it's there. If God's speaking to them, it's there. And it's because of you. And lives are changed constantly. Back last year, we were working in the Knoxville Fair. And handing scriptures out. And it was the end of the evening. We were about ready to close down. As a matter of fact, the building was starting to close down. And we were wrapping things up. And a couple of young ladies came up to me. And they were Emery and Ashton were their names. And I don't know if they were high school or early college. I really can't tell anymore, but I knew they were young, and I reached out my hand and I said, can I give you a gift? And Emery was a talker and Ashton wouldn't say anything. But she said, what is it? And I said, well, it's a Bible. Well, what is it? And I said, well, it's God's love letter to you. And I would like to share that with you today. Well, what do I do with it? Well, now at this point, I'm in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I'm thinking, is she just messing with me, or she just not really know what a Bible is? So I started to ask her some questions. I said, Emery, have you ever been afraid? She said, yeah. Have you ever been angry? She said, yeah. I said, have your friends ever failed you? She says, no. I said, no, don't lie to me. Well, yeah, my friends have failed me. I said, you know, those are emotions. And God made you with emotions. I said, you know that God's word speaks to every one of those emotions? So we looked at the front of the Testament. So that interested her a little bit. So we talked a little further, and I turned her to the back of the Testament, and I asked her to read a verse. I asked her to read John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I asked her, I said, what does that mean to you? And she said, well, that means that I'd need to believe in God. And I said, yeah. She goes, but I don't know why do I need to do that? She goes, I don't believe in everlasting life. She said, what's the point of life if it's going to be eternal? Now, that was an interesting question that I didn't have an answer for. So I said, well, would you read one more verse for me? So I had her read Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I said, what does that verse mean to you? She says, that means we can't be good enough to be God. I said, yeah, that's right. She goes, well, that doesn't matter. I don't believe there's a God. Well, our time was getting short, and they were getting ready to leave, and I just gave them both a testament, and I said, would you promise, when you have some quiet time, to read this for yourself and think about what you're reading? They both said they would, and they went on about their way. I pray that someday that they'll come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But you see, I can't save them. You can't save them, but we can all plant the seeds. We can all plant the seeds of the gospel wherever we go. That's what it's all about, is planting the seeds of the gospel. You see, a pastor told me one time years ago that nobody's saved outside of the Word of God. The Word of God provides us the message we need to know who Jesus is. We have to keep planting those seeds. You know, I know that you help in many ways, and we talk about giving. But first of all, I would ask that you pray. Pray for the ministry of the Gideons. It is growing. God is continuing to grow. Matter of fact, I was sitting here thinking this morning, you know, in places around the world where there's war and rumors of wars and things that are going on, in those places, just in the country of Ukraine, the membership of the Gideons is growing. The work is growing. The need is there. The desire for the Word of God is there. Pray that God will continue to work around the world to get his word to the people who needs it. Pray for open doors. We still have a wonderful place here in East Tennessee that is friendly to the gospel. Pray that God will continue to allow that as he brings all these people that come to the Smoky Mountains to have a weekend or have a vacation. And what a missionary opportunity it is to have his word there ready for them. Pray that those doors will continue to stay open. And I pray that you'll continue to support. You know, a lot of times we talk about what a Bible costs, but I'm not going to say that this morning. I'm going to ask that if you will help Gideons around the world to win souls by equipping them with the Word of God. Because that God brings the increase. And I don't think God counts numbers of the Bibles. He counts the souls. Will you partner with that? I want to personally just talk a little bit about my journey in my life. I've been a member of the Gideons for over 20 years, 20 years plus, I don't remember now. But you know, before I became active in the Gideons, I rarely shared my faith. I rarely shared with anybody about what it meant to be a Christian. I rarely shared about how to accept Christ. And through this ministry, it has changed my view on what it takes to share about Jesus. And it's as simple as this, is to lead with the Word of God. Let the Word of God do the work that it's designed to do. You just got to connect the dots. And I want to thank the folks that I've been able to spend time with. And I want to thank you, I want to thank Marian Baptist Church for your support of the Gideons. But I want to thank God that I've had time to spend with Gene Walkup and Jack Udy and Arthur Kirkland. Folks, when they go out from you, let me tell you what they do. And Cynthia, I don't want to forget the work that you do. When they leave here, they're taking the gospel of Christ to the world on your behalf. Continue to support them. You might want to come along with them and see what it's like to see people come to know Christ just by sharing a word of witness. And say, when you see somebody out doing the work of placing scriptures or maybe giving a copy of a testament to a student, when somebody says, "What are you doing?" What an opportunity. It's been my honor to serve with these men, and I want to thank you for letting them go. But you might want to come with them. You might want to come with them. You see, when we send the word, God will change lives. Back this Christmas, I had an opportunity at our church. There was a young lady whose name was Austin. Austin is about the age of my daughter. And she came to the church at Christmas to pick up Christmas gifts for her children. She had three kids. And she works as a server up in Pigeon Forge. And I'm talking with Austin a little bit there that Saturday morning. And the conversation just really kind of went to why we're there. And I just simply said to Austin, do you believe in Jesus? And she said, "Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus." She said, "And I try really hard to do good every day so I don't go to hell." And I said, "Well, Austin," I said, "when did you first come to believe in Jesus? Tell me your story." And she said, "Well, when I was a little girl, I went to the Mormon church and I realized I need to believe in Jesus, but I haven't thought much about it since then." So I said, "Well, Austin, would you read some scripture with me?" And I did the same kind of thing I did with Emory and Ashton. I said, "Would you read?" She read John 3:16 and she read Romans 3:23. But when she read Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, that free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus." I stopped and looked at her. I said, "Austin, did you do anything today to receive the gifts for your children other than to pick them up?" And she said, "No." I said, "Because people loved you enough to prepare that for you and for your kids." I said, "It's the same thing with Christ. He bought and paid for that, for the salvation for the world. But he's asking you to receive it as a free gift. It's not about what you can work, how hard you can work not to get to hell. But would you accept the free gift of salvation just by saying yes?" And I looked up at her and I saw the tears coming down her face. She said, "I never thought about it that way before." And we talked a little bit more and I asked her, I said, "You know, if you would like to receive that gift, would you ask God for that this morning?" I said, "You just have to pray." And we talked a little bit about the prayer. And I said, "I'll pray for you, but I can't pray for you." And she prayed a prayer to accept Jesus that morning. And when she looked up at me, she on her own, she says, "I know I'm going to heaven now." You see, it's just as simple as leading with the Word of God. It's not complicated. And I encourage you to lead out with the Word of God. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, he says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away." The ancient words that impart life. He gave them to us. He asked us to share wherever we may be. And I want to encourage you, as you go personally, wherever God may place you, share the Word of God. Share a word of witness. If you don't know what to say, share a few verses and have them read those verses. As a church, continue to share the Word of God. Continue to stand bold on what it says. And as God laid on your heart, I pray that you will equip Gideons in over 200 countries to continue to place and to share one-on-one the gospel of Christ through sharing His Word. I want to leave you with this last thought as I thank you for what you've done in the past and what you'll continue to do in the future. But I want to thank you, and I want to leave you with the thought that we teach our kids when they're very young. One of the first things I guess we teach them in church, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy, for coming today. You know, when we come to a conclusion of a worship time, we come to a time of response. And today, I think there's several responses that I would ask you to pray through. One response today would be that you would obviously, as we talk about support of the Gideons, I encourage you to do that. You can do that today by leaving an offering at the door. In the bulletin, there is an insert that you might could take. And a way that you could actually respond, mail that in, or even bring it by the church office. I do encourage you to give. It's important. Also, Buddy also gave a strong challenge to us that we would share our faith. And maybe today you just want to come and commit yourself. Lord, as you open doors and as you urge my heart, I will share what you've done in my life. I'll take your word to people who need to hear your word. Maybe that today would be your prayer. But also today, I know that as we come together, it could be that you're here today in the kind of testimonies that Buddy shared of folks hearing the gospel and responding to the gospel. Maybe you're like the young lady you just talked about. You know about God. You've heard about God just in general, or perhaps you grew up around church, but there's never been a time where you've invited Jesus Christ into your life. What a wonderful opportunity that would be today. Me or a lot of these Gideons will be here today, thrilled to introduce you to Jesus. If you would come during this time as we stand and sing in just a moment, it would be our privilege to talk with you further about what it means to follow Jesus. And I encourage you today, if you've never done so, invite Jesus Christ into your life today. You'll have eternal life. He'll change your life. You'll have an abundant life now. You just come to Him and He'll change your life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here today and for hearing the testimony of all that you're doing through the Gideon's ministry. We pray your blessings upon that ministry, God, that you would continue to multiply what you're doing. And God, as Bibles are placed and as witnesses are given literally around the globe, we pray, God, that many will hear. So many have never heard your name. I pray, God, you'd use the Gideons to reach so many, thousands, millions with the gospel. Now, Lord, as we come together today, also, Lord, there are those in our own community today, even driving up in the parking lot, just hearing all the lawnmowers going. A lot of folks not in God's house today. A lot of friends, a lot of neighbors, a lot of family members who don't know you. Lord, would you push us out of our comfort zone? And Lord, would we take your word to people who need to hear from you, who need to know you? And Lord, today, if there's someone here in this place today or listening online who's never accepted you, I pray that today they would come to know you. That, Lord, they'd come and invite you into their hearts. They would hear the words of John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. They'd come and accept your free gift. Oh, God, would you help them to do that today? Just place that upon their hearts and make them respond, we pray. Now, Lord, we will do what you tell us to do because you're Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing our hymn of invitation.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sin from the
remember all the different sign-ups that's going on, all the things in the bulletin today, then as you exit, encourage you, if you're able today, to give to the support of the Gideon minister, we encourage you to do so. Let's pray now as we're dismissed. Father, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Now as we go, Lord, may we be mindful that there are people who need to know you. Give us your words. Fill our hearts with your spirit. May we share the ancient words, your words, the words of hope to a lost and dying world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.